hard-hitting, intelligent discussion, painstakingly researched, thought-provoking opinions, and deep insight when you need it most. You'll get none of that here. Broadcasting from a secret location deep within America's heartland, Unapologetically Mediocre Studios presents the No Better Than Average podcast with your hosts, Jacob Cazell, Jeff Chaney, and Todd Singer.
Welcome, everyone, to episode 103 of the No Better Than Average show. This is Todd Singer. I'm here with my co-hosts, Jeff and Jacob. We would like to encourage you to call into our comment line, 317-643-1212, and leave a message. You don't even have to talk to a person. If you would like to send us feedback, email feedback@nobettershow.com, and you can even tweet at us at nobettershow. So we're getting ready to start the show on this nice fall evening in Indiana. Jacob, how are you doing?
You know, I am doing great. It is Halloween Eve. I don't know if that is anything as we are recording it, but I do know that there is a bowl of candy in the other room that I swear every time I walk by, I hear it whisper my name, and I get a piece of candy out, and I feel a little bad because literally every time I walk by that stupid bowl, I get a piece of candy. So we can't get rid of it fast enough.
Don't feel bad. It's fun size. Yeah. So it must be fun to eat.
It's fun size until I eat 30 pieces.
Jeff, how are you doing?
Doing pretty good. I can't complain too much. I don't feel any guilt whatsoever eating those little pieces of candy. They're delicious.
When you break it up into smaller pieces, it's less calories, I think.
I think that's correct.
The calories leak out.
The calories, right. It like may be the same, but if you look at it this way, like it takes 4 or 5 of those snack sizes to make one real candy bar, right?
At least.
Well, one real candy bar, you're opening one candy bar. You're not expending as many calories as you are when you're opening 5. So it's like half the calories, really.
Maybe you can get to like net negative calories if you open them fast enough. Like you'll just be burning more calories than you're consuming when you eat them. The problem for me is since I had the surgery, I can eat them, but like if I eat more than about a piece and a half, I get horrible gas. So it is not pleasant for anyone to be around me, and really, frankly, for me to even be around myself. So I'm doing no one any favors here.
Beano.
Yeah, it doesn't work. I've tried it all. I've tried Smethicone. No. I've tried Beano. I can eat that stuff like candy. And if I'm bad and I eat lots of sugary stuff, then I pay the price. And everyone around me pays the price. You guys are lucky you are on Skype. I'm just saying. Because I walk past that candy bowl, I eat a piece of candy. It is Pavlovian at this point.
So we took some family pictures today, then walked over to an Irish pub while they were getting ready. They had a movie on, Scooby-Doo, the movie from like 2002.
Oh, the live action with Freddie Prinze Jr.?
That's the one. I'd never seen it before. It's really bad.
My daughter loves it. She watches it on Netflix. And has he done anything since then? Because he was kind of like the hot teen phenom back in the early 2000s. And I think he just kind of went away, didn't he?
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't seen his name in a while. But then as we discussed, I'm really not up on my movie so much.
Yeah, you don't count.
But they have a tasty concoction there. So if you go to an Irish pub, I highly recommend that you order this. It's called a Black Moon. And it's Guinness with Blue Moon as opposed to a black and tan.
Ooh.
And it's really good. Yeah.
That sounds pretty tasty.
I like a good black and tan, so I'd have to give that a try.
Yeah, the Blue Moon's a little bit tangier with the citrus, and it's really yummy. I highly recommend it.
Very cool. It looks like Freddie Prinze Jr. has done a lot of video game voice work the last few years. He's not done a lot of television and movies. A few TV spots.
So more important stuff than movies, then. That's good to hear.
But yeah, potentially. There's pretty good money in video game voicing. Although I think I read that they're all on strike right now.
Well, the video game industry is now bigger than the movies.
Oh, I'm sure by probably a big chunk, right?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know the numbers, but I have heard that statistic. And I think that the video game voice actors are on strike at the moment. They demand a fair wage for sitting in a small dark room and talking into a microphone. Which, you know, no disrespect, it's hard to be a voice actor. There's a reason that there's not so many of them, and that, you know, it's hard to break into the industry. So anyway.
We wish them the best of luck.
Yeah, and John DiMaggio, if you're listening and you want to come on the show, then we would be more than happy to let you come on the show. I'm sure he is listening, right?
Probably.
Crickets? Crickets. So we got some listener feedback I wanted to share, because frankly, I had forgotten all about this, and it looks really cool. I don't actually know if he has the right podcast, but I'll take credit for it. John wrote in and said, I heard about Art of Atari some time ago on your podcast. I pre-ordered it, and it just came in today. I have flipped through it a bit. It covers artwork, history, consoles, as well as their advertising. I am looking forward to going through it in more detail. And if we did talk about this, I don't remember it, Jeff, but I went and looked. And if you go to artofatari.com, you can I guess, order it there and see what it is. But it looks like it's game box cover art and all sorts of history of Atari computers from the golden age of video games and the early 80s.
I think this was a Kickstarter thing that we may have talked about.
It might have been. But honestly, now that he brought it back up, it looks really interesting. And I might have to go and buy a copy of it myself, because I did not pre-order it. But yeah, I mean, like, it looks really cool. So that's awesome. So thanks for writing in, John. We appreciate it. Appreciate the feedback.
It's great seeing all these old covers.
I know. I mean,
I've played a lot of these games.
Like, the games have obviously gotten better, but man, I defy you to say that the cover art is better than it was back in the early 80s. Like, that is some solid, you know, graphic design illustration. I love it. Nostalgia. I have to tell myself, I was talking with my wife over the weekend, I think it was Friday night, and I had mentioned some old commercial, and I don't even remember the commercial now, but I was like, don't you remember this commercial? And she was looking at me with a blank look on her face, probably just a little bit before her time, and I had to go find it on YouTube, and of course, you can find everything now on YouTube. And I found this compilation. It was 4 hours and 15 minutes of commercials from the 80s, just in one mega supercut. And the best part was, it looks like they had taken like an old studio roll from someplace in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and had just stripped out all the TV shows and left in 4 hours and 15 minutes of commercials. And so they had like local car dealer commercials and all of the old McDonald's commercials and just old commercials. And no lie, I laid on the couch and I watched probably 2 hours and 30 minutes back-to-back nonstop of 80s vintage commercials, and it was great, and I totally had a flashback. I don't know if you guys watch South Park, but one of the themes this season is these member berries, and they're these little berries that go, you know, "Member back when it was so great," and I totally felt like that. My wife was just giving me dirty looks the whole time I was laying there watching these old McDonald's commercials and, you know, old commercials for G.I. Joe and He-Man, and it was amazing. So, you know, if you're in your 40s, I encourage you to go and spend some time down memory lane. Nostalgia is a powerful drug. It was a lot of fun. So just throw that out there.
So I had a couple quick things to keep our streak of talking about the Note 7 intact. Samsung posted its lowest profit in 2 years for the quarter. And particularly hard hit was the mobile division, which were just $87.8 million.
In profit.
Which sounds like a lot, but it's a decline of 96% from Q3 of last year.
Wow.
So definitely
That's rough.
Huge hit from the Note 7 failure. They're hoping to rebound next year with the Galaxy S8.
So are those Q3 numbers already reflective of the recalls in the Note 7 debacle, or do you think that's going to continue to shake out through the fourth quarter as well?
They'll have more expenses.
I mean,
Q4 could be worse.
They've said like $5 to $7 billion in hard costs, plus $17 billion in intangible costs of losing. Or that was the stock what wiped out of the stock market. So, good Lord.
Yeah, I do expect Q4 to be worse, but that's where they're at in Q3.
Ouch. Yeah, that's not good.
Ouch, indeed.
And on the other side of the coin, Google profits soar. Alphabet revenues were $22.4 billion
for
the quarter, which is a huge 20% increase over Q3 2015. Almost unheard of for a company of that size to get a 20% revenue increase.
No kidding.
A lot of their segments were up. Their net income surpassed $5 billion in the quarter. Their core business was actually up more, but the Alphabet other bets segment was an operating loss of $865 million. So that's probably the things that they're kind of, you know, doing the incubator or whatever, research and development almost. Mm-hmm. And so it would have been even better. Their other revenue segment, which includes the Google Store, increased by 39% to $2.4 billion.
Wow. Now, is that total or is that just their cut of Google Store expenditures?
That's their cut.
Oh, wow.
That's Alphabet's cut, yeah.
Wow.
It has other things besides the Google Store, but I imagine that's the biggest driver. And then just rounding out the press release, Alphabet has $83 billion in cash and cash equivalents on hand, which means they would have no problem buying Time Warner for whatever pittance AT&T is going to buy them for. And $2.5 billion in capital expenditures. They added just shy of 10,000 employees in the past year, putting their total headcount to almost 70,000 employees.
That's quite a few employees.
It sure is. So, yeah, and Google is definitely doing its part to help drive down the unemployment rate. Whew.
Now, does that $2.5 billion in CapEx, is that everything including R&D, or is R&D separate from that typically?
R&D is usually separate.
So I'm curious.
So what capital their would be, yeah.
Physical, like offices, servers, things like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. So that's really, I mean, for that kind of money that they're talking about, $22 billion in revenue, I mean, $2.5 billion in CapEx is not, that seems like pretty good position to be in if you're Alphabet. I mean, that seems like a good expense to revenue ratio.
Yeah. And when you look at what, $5 billion, on $22.4 billion in sales, that's almost 20%. I mean, that's great, great percentage of profit.
Oh yeah, and I'm assuming that the vast majority of that is advertising, right? That's still their bread and butter.
That's correct. Yeah.
I wonder when it'll flip flop and one of their other bets just takes off and becomes worth billions and billions of dollars.
It's going to be a while. I mean, advertising is still king, right?
Well, yeah, and Google seems to be, you know, Google, Facebook, they seem to have figured it out, and nobody else is anywhere near where they are in terms of their success with advertising. I mean, it looks like Twitter is, you know, up on the chopping block, and heck, we might even be talking about Twitter this time next year if someone doesn't step in and buy them because they never figured out how to monetize.
Right.
And if you remember the episode we have with Chris Spangle, he said that Facebook dwarfed Twitter as far as social media hits, but Twitter was the next one after Facebook.
Right.
So if Twitter has not been able to monetize it, I don't know how many other people have, certainly not to any kind of great level. Of course, we heard that Vine is shutting down as well.
Right, which that was owned by Twitter, right?
Twitter, yes.
Yeah, they're going to be, I mean, they're going to make some painful cuts over the next 3 to 6 months if they can't find a suitor to snap them up. And it looks like all of the people who have been rumored to be in talks to buying them have sort of backed away. I mean, that it, you know, Disney was one of the rumored purchasers, and why on earth would Disney want that cesspool? I mean, there is some great stuff on Twitter, but there's a lot of garbage.
There's a lot of crap. Yeah. They almost need Google to step in and just kind of buy them and let them run. But I don't know that Google does that kind of stuff anymore.
Yeah, and what's the advantage to Google for that? I mean, they don't get anything, but Google already has a deal that they get the fire hose. So, I mean, from a data mining standpoint, they already have access to it.
But if it goes away, then the fire hose goes away.
But does it go away, or does it just something supplant it? I mean, I get that there's not a something to supplant it today, but how quickly do you think something would fill that vacuum?
All I'm saying is if they feel like they're getting any value out of the fire hose that is Twitter on data on users, that it might be worthwhile to them to buy it and just let it sit and run. I'm that's the only person that I could see it being of value to is Facebook or Google, and I don't think Facebook is interested because I don't know that Twitter gives them any more data than what they're already getting.
No. So,
yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
And some of the numbers I've seen is like a 90% overlap in users. I mean, if you're on Twitter, you're on Facebook. So they're already, you know, getting a lot of information about you. I imagine
Google doesn't get any Facebook data. So them keeping Twitter alive might be worthwhile. I'm just, I don't know. I'm just That's my theory there.
Well, it remains to be seen. And I think it's easy to forget about the fact, and like you said, Todd, that Chris Spangle had mentioned that, you know, Facebook is obviously the 800-pound gorilla, and then Twitter is a second, but a distant second. I mean, they only have 310, 320 million users, which, I mean, you compare that to a Facebook at 1.5 billion last time I looked at the numbers. I mean, there's a network effect there, and Twitter's network is just not that big. I don't think anybody is even close to Facebookian in size. I mean, maybe WhatsApp, but Facebook owns them. I mean, I don't know who else is even out there in that general ballpark. There might be some Chinese versions of Facebook that approach that kind of size, but I don't know what they are.
I'd be surprised if Twitter goes away. It's very useful. People get news and especially sports news and
sure.
have conversations about, like, I'm sure a lot of people are talking about the World Series games and such, kind of real time. So I suspect it will stay around, but somebody might get a really good deal if they keep waiting it out.
I assume it's got to be really expensive to operate. I know that they have pretty substantial server overhead. I think I read that they were cutting some surprisingly large number of employees, which I had no idea. Based on the number I heard, I think it put their headcount at around 3,000 employees to run Twitter, which to me, that seems like a lot of people. You know, I would assume that that is something that you could run probably to a very similar level it is running now on a skeleton crew compared to what they've got. I don't know if they can make those changes internally, or like you said, if somebody doesn't end up getting a really good deal on them, but I don't know. We shall see.
Yeah, it says 9% 3 days ago. This article is from it. Cut 9% of its employees worldwide.
And it's about 300 people. I think that's the number I heard. Which put them, I think, just over 3,000 employees.
Yes. Which this says 3,860 workers, but
yeah, that boggles my mind that they're that big.
Snapchat and Instagram are growing faster, especially recently.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, the kids, they love their Snapchats. My one barometer point, the 20-year-old niece, I mean, she's on Snapchat like it's her job. It's just like, that's it. I don't even know that she texts other than her, you know, old adult aunts. And other than that, all of the communications with her friends is through Facebook Messenger or Snapchat. That's just what they use. So that's where the kids are these days, and I guess the kids are worth money, and so that's where it'll go.
So would you like me to talk at you about the parts of the Apple event?
I would love to know about the Apple event. I was working all week, and I didn't get to see it, and I'm sad because it's like one of the first ones I've missed in a long time.
Yeah,
I didn't even know there was an Apple event. So.
There you go. So I did not get a chance to watch it either, but I've read a lot, specifically on the new MacBook Pro. There were also some announcements all around Apple TV. Mm-hmm. I haven't had a chance to read up on that yet, so we'll save that for next week. But let's talk a little bit about the MacBook Pro. It was within 2 days of being the 25th anniversary of the first Mac laptop.
Oh, really?
Which I thought was interesting. 2 days prior, October 25th, was the 25th anniversary.
Huh.
So it's been a while. So they announced the new MacBook Pro, new 13-inch and 15-inch models, mm-hmm. Lighter, thinner, and plastic-free, which the only part that was plastic before was the hinge. That is now also aluminum.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, so it is entirely metal. The 13-inch MacBook Pro is now a paltry 14.9 millimeters, which is 17% thinner.
I mean, that's like edging into iPhone territory, isn't it?
Yeah, and weighs only 3 pounds.
Wow.
Which is half a pound less than last year. The 15-inch comes in 14% thinner than last year at 15.5 millimeters and has reduced to 4 pounds. The overall volume of the computer is 23% less on the 13-inch model and 20% less on the 15-inch model, and comes now in space gray.
Ooh.
So silver or space gray.
So that was one of the rumors, was the color. And
yeah.
I know one of the other big rumors was potentially like an OLED touch bar at the top replacing the function keys.
You know, can you hold off let me go through my order?
Sure, I will. Okay. I'm excited. I want to know what they actually did.
So changes to the keyboard and the force touch track trackpad. Interestingly, the Force Touch trackpad is now twice as large as the previous models.
Ooh.
So you got a lot more space to clicky on, or not really clicky because it doesn't really click, but it makes it feel like it clicks. Anywho, you got a big piece of glass there, twice as big as last year. They switched to the new butterfly keys, which is either something that people are really happy about or people are really mad about.
And that's what's on the MacBook, right? They introduced that a year ago on the MacBook.
So it's a lot less travel. For me, I like the bigger travel. Some people like smaller travel. You know, again, I'm not sure that's a yay or a nay. They did introduce the new touch bar on all of the 15-inch and half of the 13-inch. So the intro 13-inch MacBook Pro does not have the touch bar.
Okay.
It just has the new smaller size, the new bigger Force trackpad, the new keys, but it has the normal function keys and the escape key. The touch bar then it comes in on the mid or the higher end 13-inch. So the default, you know, basic 13-inch MacBook Pro now is $1,499. That's the one without the touch bar.
Mm-hmm.
To go up to the one with the touch bar, it's $1,799.
Ooh, that's salty.
Which is a 2.9 gigahertz processor, 256 gigabytes of SSD storage. And yeah. So... Let me talk a little bit about the differences, then we'll get into the touch bar. I kind of want to touch on. So the normal, you know, entry level $1,500 MacBook Pro has two Thunderbolt 3 ports.
Okay.
Those ports are used for anything and everything that you need to do, including charging.
Is it Thunderbolt or USB?
Yes.
Oh, it's a dual, can go either way.
There you go. It's a Thunderbolt. Huh. Thunderbolt 3/USB-C port.
Interesting.
So if you're charging it, that means you have one. Count them, one port. And that's kind of pretty sucky, I think, for a MacBook Pro.
Yeah.
When you go up to the Touch Bar models, they have four USB 3 ports, and we'll touch more on that in a few minutes.
Okay.
So back to the touch bar. The touch bar replaces the function keys and your escape key. The whole top row of keys is now gone. It is, interestingly, running on a T1 chip that has a secure enclave, which means that on the right side of that strip is a Touch ID sensor.
Really?
So it's basically an Apple Watch. That's what the T1 chip is used for.
Okay.
Previous to this, that is controlling that touch bar. And that is on a secure enclave. So now you have Touch ID on your Mac.
So no more passwords.
No more passwords now. Couple things to remember. If you use Touch ID and you go through the TSA and they tell you unlock your computer, guess what?
Well,
they can make you unlock your computer. Yes, they can.
Can they do that everywhere? Has that been challenged jurisdictionally across the country?
The TSA has the right to make you unlock it if you have a fingerprint. They
really?
Can't make you type in a password. So something to think about.
Hmm.
You know, for most of us, that doesn't really matter. But, you know, the interesting parts of this new touch bar is that it is application specific. So depending on what application you're using, it will change what you see on that touch bar. Things like emojis when you're in the messages app, or, you know, different professional tools like Final Cut Pro and Photoshop take advantage of it with up to 10 simultaneous inputs.
Hmm.
I saw a thing on watching video. You can kind of drag it to, you know, do the video. So pretty cool idea. Couple of things that concern me. You know, I use the escape key, and people have been making fun of that already, that you don't have an escape key anymore.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you not have a software escape key?
Well, it depends on the application, and that's the key.
So it's not like these buttons are always here and then you can take over this part of it. It's the application could potentially take over the whole bar.
That is correct.
Ooh.
So that's interesting. You know, all in all, I'd call it a win. I think it's kind of a good idea. The Touch ID to me is a great idea. 1Password has already said that they're going to support that on the Mac, which is just makes long and complicated passwords so super easy. And, you know, I see that as a huge win.
Right.
The butt side is, you know, if you're visually impaired, isn't such a great thing, right? So, you know, they haven't really talked about that and what they're going to do with that. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. What are your thoughts, Jacob?
Well, I mean, Apple has typically been lauded for their accessibility for people with disabilities. So I'm assuming that they have got a plan or you know, some mechanism to continue to enable people who have maybe visual issues, auditory issues, to work with it, because they have been so good with that on the iPhone and on Macs in the past. So I guess maybe I'll give them the benefit of the doubt for that. I'm actually on Apple's page and finally looking at their marketing material for the MacBook, and I mean, it does look really intriguing, and they have like a little interactive thing where, you know, it puts a full color, like, color picker there, and you can just slide your finger back and forth to choose. I mean, sure. That kind of stuff is really cool.
I mean, it really opens up a lot. A couple of things that I think are interesting about it, and a bunch of us in the office were talking about it last week, because there's quite a few Mac users at Angie's List where I work. But all of them use, when they're sitting at their desk, they're using their MacBook up in a dock.
So they're not even using the keyboard.
So they're not using the keyboard. And their point was interesting, is that, you know, are they going to sell some kind of device that attaches onto the Magic Keyboard so that you get that functionality?
Well, I'm sure they'll sell a new Magic Keyboard for $400 that has this functionality.
Well, I don't know. I mean, they are right now. So, I mean, you know, kind of interesting. You know, they were talking about, you know, it makes it where you almost want to use that keyboard, but, you know, they're like, I certainly don't want to have to reach up on my dock. And so, you know, again, there's pluses and minuses. So once you get past that touch bar, I think that something that can only be considered a plus, they switched over to the new wide gamut color retina display. Mm-hmm. Has 67% more contrast, 67% brighter, and has the wide color P3 gamut, which is, you know, pretty awesome. I can't see any negatives on that. The internals, some interesting stuff. You know, the 13-inch are coming with 2-core processors. The 15-inch are quad-core processors. You can get up to 2 terabytes of storage in solid-state drive, which is, it's fast. Couple of interesting things that I haven't seen anyone else talk about, and I thought was very interesting. The most memory RAM that you can get is 16 gigs, period.
Really?
You want 32? Tough crackers. The most you can get, 16 gig. And I find that very interesting because, honestly, you know, RAM makes a huge difference, especially, you know, if you're, you know, doing 2 or 3 things. And I don't know. I thought that was a little disappointing that you couldn't go up to 32 gigs, especially when you're talking about quad core processors that can really take advantage of all that extra RAM.
I wonder if they've done analysis of what their most common configurations are and just decided, you know what, 95% of units that we sell ship like this, and that's what we're going to have. We're going to eliminate SKU creep, and we're going to have this, so you can have this.
And I'm sure that that's the case, but they still offer customization, quote unquote, in that you can spend $200 extra. Like if you're looking at the biggest, baddest 15-inch MacBook Pro, you can bump up from a 2.7 quad core to a 2.9 quad core. So if you're going to offer any kind of customization, the fact that you cannot go up to, you know, a higher memory capacity is interesting.
That's
By the way, if you opt for the 2 terabytes of SSD, that's going to cost you $1,200.
Oh, okay. That's not as bad as I would have thought. But I guess I'm coming from the world of Enterprise, where we just recently upgraded one of our servers with a 400 gigabyte SSD that was $2,600. So 1,200 is not so bad for 2 terabytes.
Right. So if you spec out the, you know, highest bestest Mac Pro that you can buy, you're talking $4,299.
Okay, now that is a spicy enchilada.
I mean, 1,200 of that is 2 terabytes of SSD. Storage. But I'm just, you know, that's the big daddy's $42.99.
Wow.
So let's talk a little bit more about ports. Ports. We got your ports
as
right
long as you want
here.
Four of them.
I prefer Tawny over Ruby.
So the higher end MacBook Pros all come with 4 Thunderbolt 3 ports, 2 of which support 40 gigabytes per second bandwidth. The other 2 do only go up to USB 3.1 standard, which is 10 gigabytes per second.
Why would I even want that?
All 4 of them can be simultaneously used for USB-C or DisplayPort. They're saying that the high-end MacBook Pro will run both its monitor as well as 2 5K displays attached.
That's pretty nice.
So that's pretty nice.
But you only get 16 gig of memory, so good luck with that.
I would like to point out that while Apple was very courageous in their phone by pulling out the 3.5 millimeter headphone jack, they were not so courageous when it came to their MacBook Pros and left those in, which I think is a huge fail. No, seriously, like if you're going to make the stand on your phone that this is an outdated piece of crap you wouldn't ever want ever, and then a month later you release your brand new laptop with, instead of putting a lightning port in, which in my opinion would have been the better choice,
right?
I mean, if they put in a 3.5 millimeter headphone jack, so if you have fancy new lightning headphones,
now you need a dongle to go from lightning to 3.5 millimeter.
Yeah.
Which, okay, so now that I've had my iPhone 7 for a little while, I don't have a pair of normal headphones in my bag. I only carry my Lightning headphones. So, yeah, I agree with you. That is a total swing and a miss on Apple's part.
Total swing and a miss. And
could it be a different division, though? Like, the phone division is different from the laptop division? So they were
never worked like
on the same
before.
Page?
Apple's never worked like that. I mean, that's a Microsoft thing. That's not an Apple thing. I think what it has more to do with is this MacBook, although coming out later, has been the design hasn't changed in a long time. They were just waiting on a couple things to come through. And I think that headphone jack was in there before they made the decision to take it out of the iPhone. That's my thinking. I don't know. It makes no sense to me.
No.
There's no reason that they should have done it. Kind of stupid, but again, let's talk about more of the stupidity. Because, so, here's the thing, folks. Let's say you just bought a brand new, shiny iPhone 7 Plus, and you decide, I need me a MacBook Pro. Oh, wait. I can't charge that.
You're going to have to get a USB-C to Lightning cable.
Which does not exist right now. So what you're going to have to do is get a USB-C to USB dongle and then use your USB to Lightning. Yeah.
That's great. And it looks like they dropped the MagSafe charging, which...
Yeah, there is no MagSafe charger.
Oh my gosh. That was one of the most brilliant things they did. I can't tell you how many times I've accidentally kicked the power cable out of my MacBook, and it just goes poink, and it pops right off because MagSafe charging is brilliant. And so now I'm going to tear up a USB-C cable when I kick the cord and potentially jerk the laptop off of my desk or off of the sofa in the process.
Now, let's talk about even more of the stupidity. So, used to, when you bought a bright, shiny new MacBook Pro, Jacob, what did you get in the box? What'd you get?
You got the MacBook, you got the power supply and the cable, and that's all I recall getting.
Well, when you say the cable, what do you mean the cable?
Well, I mean the power supply cable, the brick and the charging cable, and that was, I don't remember getting any other cables.
Okay, so you got the brick that attached to the MagSafe, and then you got a cable that was the brick to the wall, right?
Yeah. Well, I actually got a twofer. I got a snap-on piece to the power brick, mm-hmm. so I could plug the power brick right into the wall. Right? And I also got like a 5 or 6 foot cable that you mm-hmm. could pull the snap-on off, and then you could have 5 feet of cable, the brick, and then 5 feet of cable.
That was really interesting, wasn't it? When you had that 5 to 6 foot cable that was very useful because, you know, you need to be able to sit on your couch and plug it in. So, you don't get that anymore.
Would you just get like a little wall wart like you get with an iPhone?
You just get the wall wart. You can pay $19 extra to get that 6 foot cable if you want it.
Oh, it doesn't even come with a charging cable?
So it comes with a USB-C charging cable.
Okay.
It comes with a USB-C power adapter.
Okay.
But it does not come from the cable that goes from that power adapter to the wall.
So you
don't know what
prongs.
You expect for a lousy $4,300.
So look, I'm just trying to point this out that you're going to spend $4,299. And if you want the cable that goes from the brick to the wall, like you used to get in the normal one for free,
it's an extra $20.
It's an extra $20. Which, when you're spending $4,300, what's an extra $20 except for what the hell? Like, that used to just be included.
Right.
Yeah, not anymore.
I mean, is Apple setting themselves up to, you know, they are no longer caring about the you and me purchasers who are buying one laptop every 5 years. They care about the people who are, you know, working for companies and they're changing their laptop every couple years, or they're, you know, going in and they're saying, for everybody else, buy an iMac. Here's what it is, or you buy an iPad, because I don't really see myself as being a customer for this product. Like, it doesn't make sense. I don't need that much power, and it's a lot of money, and it sounds like I've got to make some compromises.
It's a huge amount of money. Well, what really frustrates me, Apple is becoming, in my opinion, a dongle company. It's like, you know, I understand USB-C is standard, and that's great, except for, if you want a USB-C to Lightning cable, they do sell them now. They didn't when I checked last week, but they're on the website now. $25 for a 1 meter cable.
1 meter, that's 3 feet.
They're only selling you the laptop to sell you the dongle.
And a two meter is $35.
Wow.
I told you the extra, you know,
power cable.
That's $19. If you want a USB-C to VGA, that's $40. If you want USB-C to gigabit Ethernet, that's $35. If you need a USB-C to USB adapter because you have all this old USB stuff, that's $20 a piece. If you want...
To be fair, though, isn't that happening in the Windows world as well on some of these devices that are only coming out with USB-C? Ports. I mean, you're going to have that limitation when you start stripping all of the ports off. So Apple may be a trailblazer here in that they're the first ones who are doing it at a widespread level, but that surely isn't going to be uncommon as HP starts bringing, you know, everything into line other than their highest high end. And
I don't disagree with you, but let me ask you this. Do you not think it would be fair if you're throwing down $4,300 on a computer that maybe they throw in, I don't know, a USB-C to a USB adapter and, you know, USB-C to Lightning adapter, or just throw it in there?
Yeah. The only thing I can think is that, you know, they've run their focus groups and they've looked at their internal data and they've determined that 80% of people
can make an extra $100 per laptop on people buying cables. Yes, I'm sure that's exactly what they did, Jacob. Don't try to pretend that they did it because, no one wants it.
I'm looking at it a little differently. But,
No. Come on, dude.
I mean,
they looked at it and thought, everybody's going to buy two or three of these adapters and we're going to make an extra $100 off people.
I don't know. I mean, I'm just thinking about my recent usage, like just thinking back over the last few months of using my laptop, and I've plugged headphones in to the 3.5 inch jack, and I've plugged in memory cards from my camera.
Just because you're not courageous.
I'm not courageous. I mean, no, I am courageous because I can't plug those headphones into my iPhone. And now I have to keep track of an adapter. And I'd like to point out, Best Buy, you suck, because even though your website says that you have 3 adapters in stock, when I go to look for them, not one single employee can find them. I'm willing to give money to somebody for another little dongle adapter, and I can't... I just literally can't give my money to anybody. That frustrates me.
I do want to point out also that the last generation of MacBook Pros had an SD card reader.
And I use that. I plug headphones in and I use my SD card reader.
Not anymore, you don't, sir.
That's a little frustrating to lose the SD card reader.
By the way, that's a $50 dongle.
I mean, I just bought a couple of 6-foot cables, USB-C cables, for $11 on Amazon. Would you say they're charging $20 on Apple?
Yeah.
I mean, obviously the Apple ones are better. I get that. But are they twice as good?
Well, did you buy one of the USB-C cables that Google engineer showed will catch on fire and burn your precious?
I did not.
Because
I bought a high-quality USB-C cable.
Well, I'm just saying, like there's a lot of garbage out of China, and if you're not buying something that's, you know, at least semi-reputable, you're kind of playing a little bit of Russian roulette with cheap cables.
Android Central specifically recommended this cable avoid that type of.
Here's the thing. The nice thing about them going to USB-C, I can buy that same cable, Todd, and it'll work just fine. Yep. That's not the point to me. The point is, gosh darn it. I mean, you take these things away. I understand that you're pushing things forward, and the touch bar is cool. I mean, that's a cool addition. But you take these ports away, it's not courageous. It's, we're going to sell a bajillion of these things, and people will buy them. Right at the time, because they're like, well, you know, I'm throwing down this money and I need an SD card reader. So here's my $50. And yeah, I really want to be able to charge my iPhone on it. So here's another $20. And it's nickel and diming. And it just really frustrates me. I'm really disappointed.
I could see it down the road, like the second cycle, maybe the third cycle, they go, okay, we've got 2 cycles out here. You know, people have these accessories. We're not going to include them. I mean, that's what they did with the original iPhone. I think the original iPhone came with I think it may have even come with a dock. And then they took it out and they've, you know, scaled back on all of that stuff. And, you know, just looking at their webpage, I mean, what's the entry level 15 inch? I mean, it's $23.99. That's a lot of scratch. For $2,400, you could give me like an extra dongle or something.
Well, or, you know, I mean, so many people have dongles that they have bought for their MacBook Pros already that are Thunderbolt 2 dock, you know, dongles. So, you know what? Put a Thunderbolt 2 port on there so that I can use my Ethernet adapter that I already own, or so that I can use my, you know, Thunderbolt to HDMI cable adapter.
Is it not backwards compatible?
No.
Oh.
USB-C is totally different.
Huh.
It's a totally different port. So nothing that you own now is going to work on the new one. Not your MagSafe. Nope, that won't work.
Right.
You know, I have an Ethernet adapter. Nope, that won't work. I have a, you know, adapter to go to VGA, actually. That won't work. I have an adapter that goes to DVI. That won't work. I mean, it's just like,
is there a Thunderbolt 3 to Thunderbolt 2 hub or adapter that you can get so that you have a dongle for your dongle?
Well, I could buy a dongle for the dongle, but you might as well just buy the dongle. I mean,
yeah,
it's not
I
any
suppose
cheaper.
That's true.
And then, like, you know, right now I have my MacBook Pro attached to my old iMac via, you know, a Thunderbolt 2 cable.
Right.
Can't do that anymore. I'd have to buy a dongle. I understand USB-C is awesome and Thunderbolt 3 is awesome, but to totally disregard what your previous customers have purchased from you, it's just not right. It's nickel and diamond, and I don't know. I mean, they're going to keep doing it as long as people pay the money. So, you know, I understand why they're doing it, but gosh, people, I mean, give me a break.
But I mean, are you really going to switch back to a Wintel for your next computer?
Well, I just bought MacBook Pros last year.
So
I got I got 3 years.
Right.
So, you know, it may not be as much of a big deal in 3 years. The prices will have come down on these, I'm sure. You know, so for that part, yeah, it's not going to be as big of a deal. And who knows what I'll be buying then. You know, I may not even be buying a laptop at that point.
Yeah, I question that.
But like, it makes me really frustrated. So that was basically all of the news around. I mean, me whining about it. But people think we're really pro Apple, and this one is big swing and a miss to me.
Yeah.
I really don't think that they thought all the use cases through. I don't think they thought anything at all. I mean, you know, you said, well, maybe they're looking at pro users or business users. But again, talking to the people that I work with that use it in that business setting, to them, that touch strip was almost unusable. Because, well, like, even if my setup here at home, you know, I use
the wireless keyboard,
a wireless keyboard and a mouse. So if I were going to want to use that, I'd have to reach way up here.
Right.
I mean, that's, again, I know that that'll be very convenient when people are using it on their lap, but people don't just use laptops anymore on their lap.
Well, but I mean, how else will you look trendy at Starbucks?
Especially at a workstation at work.
Sure.
You know, even my Windows machine that I'm using now, it's up on a dock. I don't use that keyboard.
Right.
So Space Gray, I guess that's cool.
Well, at least they gave me another color, so it's okay that they kicked me in the jimmies with all of these things that they took away.
And if you think about it, even worse on the 13-inch MacBook Pro that doesn't have the touch bar, it only has two USB-C/Thunderbolt 3 ports, mm-hmm. You know, so one of which is for power.
Right.
So you got one port.
I'm assuming so you could plug it to a hub.
You're going to have like some kind of USB-C hub, mm-hmm. that you can then plug all that other stuff into. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's, you know, my 13-inch MacBook Pro that I'm using here, on one side, I've got an SD card slot. I've got an HDMI and USB 3. On the other side, I got my MagSafe, two Thunderbolt 2 ports, and another USB port.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and the non-courageous 3.5 millimeter
headphone jack. 3.5-inch headphone jack. Yeah, no, that's interesting.
You know, you're going from five useful ports and charging to one port.
Yeah, yeah. Plus the headphone jack. Don't forget that headphone jack. I mean, I guess the only good news is that, you know, unlike, I've never had this experience with any Windows laptop where after 4 years, I felt completely satisfied and I didn't want a new one. My MacBook Pro is the first generation Retina, and I got it in June of 2012. And honestly, I mean, would it be nice to have a new laptop because new electronics are great? Sure. But there is nothing that my 4-year-old laptop, 4.5-year-old laptop at this point, doesn't do that I'm like, man, I just can't run that app. I mean, I run Photoshop, I run Lightroom. Maybe it's not as fast as a brand new one, but it's got, you know, it's got 16 gigs of memory. It's got SSD in it. It's plenty fast for everything that I do. I mean, I can edit the podcast with it. I can do photography with it. I can do basic video editing. And I have no plans on replacing it until the thing actually just dies. Like, I'm not like, oh, 5 years and then I'm going to go drop another $2,500 on a new laptop. I feel like it's going to depreciate well and I'm going to get my money out of it. I could easily see using it for another 2 or 3 years if it lives. So
the only other thing that I can talk to that I know that they talked about at the announcement was Apple has basically said they are out of the display business.
Which is not surprising. They haven't released an update in a long time.
Which, I'm not shocked on that announcement. They did announce two new monitors to their store. They introduced a 21.5-inch 4K LG display.
Okay.
Which can be yours for the low, low price of $700. Or
is that a good deal? I mean,
no.
It doesn't sound like it.
Or the 5K LG ultra-fine display for $1,300. That is a 27-inch display. $1,300. Now, I just want to point out to you that $1,300 for that 27-inch LG display, which I'm sure is a beautiful, beautiful display, is the exact same price for the entry-level iMac 27-inch 5K computer.
I'm assuming, I mean, that's not Apple setting that price. Like, if you go buy that display anywhere else, you're going to pay $1,300 for it, right? Since it's a, you know, LG display and not an Apple display. So, I mean, that is the price of the display.
That's the price of the display. My point being is that you can just go buy an iMac instead for the same price and have a computer with it.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe that display is better. Is it wide gamut and all that? I don't know. I mean,
The 27-inch iMac is wide gamut.
Oh, the iMac is, but yeah, you don't know about the LG?
I do not know about the LG. I didn't hear about that.
I mean, I assume that someone buying that is buying that because they're a graphics person and those things matter to them. And if you're spending that kind of scratch on a monitor, I'm assuming it's a nice monitor. But I don't know enough about monitors to speak to that.
I assume it's a nice monitor as well, but I also assume that the iMac is a nice monitor because I can look over my shoulder at one and it is gorgeous. And my point being is you can use those just as monitors too.
Yeah. I'm just saying nice as in it can calibrate to industry standards. I don't know. I mean, maybe it can be, maybe it can't be. I'm assuming that the LG can be. That's interesting. And
it's also a P3 wide color gamut.
Okay.
27 inch. I think it's probably the same the world is display. Moving. I bet it's the same display. To be honest with you, I'm willing to bet that that's where Apple probably sources their displays for their iMacs.
Well, I mean, they get them all from Samsung and LG, right? They pretty much only dual source their panels from those two companies. That's interesting.
But the thing about the LG display is it looks like an LG display. Like, you know, a lot of people, if they had a 27-inch iMac, they would want the display right next to it that looked just like it. Because, you know,
so it's not specially styled to match.
No, it looks like an LG display. I mean, really? It's a black bezeled LG display.
Huh.
Again, which is my point of why not just buy another iMac and daisy chain them together? Because then at least they'd look the same. I don't know. Maybe that doesn't make as much difference to some people as it would to me. Because if I had that kind of scratch and I could afford to have three monitors, right?
Right.
That are all three 5K monitors, which how freaking awesome would that be? I would want them all to look the same.
I'm assuming that like at a professional level, there's a reason that that monitor gets you excited and it's not about the aesthetics of how your monitors and laptop look together. It's about performance. And I'm not that person who knows those things. So to me, I agree with you. I would buy the iMac and it would look all nice and I would just daisy chain it together and use the panel in the iMac and it would look gorgeous. And as soon as I win the lottery, I'm going to do that. I'm going to plaster my wall in iMacs.
The nice thing about doing that too is that even though you're using those as display only, they can also be running as computers in the background.
Sure.
So, like, the iMac that I use for a display right now is a server for my house.
Nice.
So if you had three 27-inch iMacs, you would have your iMac, and then you'd have two mouse servers or whatever you wanted to do with them.
Very cool.
Anyway.
That's interesting. Yeah, I did not get to see the event. I don't feel like I missed
$5,000.
Yeah.
No, you didn't really miss a ton. I mean, you know, they're new Macs, and if you were waiting for a new Mac Pro or a new MacBook Pro, then you're probably pretty happy, I guess, at all the dongles that you're going to put in your bag. I just hate dongles, man. I mean, talk about, you know, a company that's supposed to be known for their style and everything's supposed to look great. When you have all these dongles hanging out of the computer, it doesn't really look very good.
Well, and to kind of segue about, you know, hating the dongles, I did see last week, and there has not been any update that I'm aware of a revised release date, but Apple pushed back the release date of the AirPods. I don't know if you saw that. So it is no longer coming in late October, because we are recording this about as late October as you can get and still call it October. So I'm disappointed because I'm still optimistic about the AirPods. I want to buy them. I want to try them. I want to see how they work. And now it's going to be pushed out until hopefully November. They haven't said. So
coming soon is all it says now.
So I still have a dongle. I have my stupid little 3.5-inch to lightning dongle. I have my lightning headphones. I want another one of these, but Best Buy can't tell me where in the store the dang thing is. It's frustrating. And I'm not going to go brave the Apple store for this stupid dongle because you couldn't pay me.
Why don't you just
me.
Order it
well,
Best
you
Buy
know,
for pickup?
Well, when I was in the Best Buy, I told the guy, your website says you have them. What if I just order it for pickup? And he said, well, we don't know where they are, so we can't guarantee that you'd be able to actually come in and pick it up. Because if they can't find it in the store when I'm there asking for it, they can't find it in the store when I place the order. And I said, well, what would happen? And they're like, well, we'd probably just cancel your order.
No, they wouldn't. They would ship them to the store.
Okay.
And then they'd be there 3 or 4 days later, and you could just go pick it up.
It's more that it just makes me mad and it makes me shake with rage a little bit. And I'd rather just vent about it than actually do something intelligent,
actually
like
do
order
something.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. No,
I just want to complain.
There you go. No, that's
come
that's
on.
Fine.
You know
that's,
me, right? Like,
fair enough.
This is not a new condition for me. I'd rather
just
rant.
You could have already had it by now.
I could
have just ordered it, but you know, whatever, whatever.
I've stopped in 2 or 3 times and they haven't had it. And it's become like a testament of wills at this point. It's the same thing with Samsung appliances. Don't get me started on Samsung appliances. They're persona non grata in my house.
Fair.
They're
enough,
on
sir.
My list. Hey, we have been talking for quite a long time. I think we might want to talk about what we love and wrap it up. What do you guys think?
Yeah, that's
I think we should talk about dongles some more.
Well, we can. I am always down for a good dongle discussion. If you've got some more dongle topics, dongle.
Nice.
Todd, what is it that you love?
I love the Joe Sheehan baseball newsletter. Now, if you've been following this historic World Series, you may have paid a little bit more attention to baseball lately. This newsletter that he writes, he's a great writer, covers all of Major League Baseball. He also looks at statistical analysis, but it's not heavy. He will incorporate some, but you don't have to be an engineer to understand the statistics.
Okay.
He emphasizes process and not outcomes to deconstruct decisions. And it's good throughout the season, but he absolutely nails it during the playoffs. So it would still be worth signing up now and going back and reading some of the playoff episodes or volumes, if you will, if you've been following it at all. So it comes up 3-1 as we speak in game 5. Of course, they're down 3-1 in the series. But hopefully it'll go back to Cleveland and you'll get plenty of more content from Mr. Sheehan. So I don't watch a lot of baseball anymore, but I read his newsletter every issue. And it usually comes maybe once every 3 days during the season, but then, you know, every day during the playoffs. So if you like baseball, if you like statistics, give that a shot. It's like $30 a year or something like that. But okay. Well worth it if you like baseball. Contact him. He'll give you a deal right now, probably.
Very cool. I don't know that much about baseball, but that's interesting. Awesome.
He has, you know, pop culture references. I mean, it's much in the genre of like Bill James writing. So he's I don't want to say he's a protege, but he grew up reading Bill James and now he writes in a lot of the same way. So
cool. Well, awesome. I will put a link to the newsletter in the show notes for those listeners who are interested in going and checking it out. So as Christmas time is coming upon us, what I love is directly related to also what I hate this time of year, which is getting ready for the Christmas light show that I do from time to time. I haven't had a chance to do it in the last 3 years, so I am throwing my hat in late this year to try and pull together a Christmas light display. And it's been a lot of fun getting the kinks worked out, and it's been frustrating at the same time. But I had pulled one of my controllers out of deep storage, had been there for about 3 years, to find out that it was no longer working. And that caused much wailing and gnashing of teeth because that was sort of important that it did work, and it was not. So I had to break down and buy a new controller to get the signals out of my computer and out into the components that I'm going to be putting out in the yard. And as the technology has changed over the last 3 years dramatically, I wanted to future-proof myself. So I broke down and I bought what is called a pixel controller. I bought the Lidarama PixCon 16 pixel controller. I will warn you in advance, it's a little spendy. It's about $200. But what it does is it gives you the ability to control 5,440 pixels via 16 SPI outputs. It connects to your network over E1.31, which is to say that it is it's a network protocol. So you actually plug it in, give it an IP address, and then you shoot internet packets to it, and it translates those messages into light control commands and sends them out. It also gives you E1.11 RJ45 DMX outputs, so you get four universes of DMX out as well. So if all of these things mean something to you and you're all excited about it, good for you. You should look it up and check it out. It's a really fun hobby, and that's just the tip of the iceberg. But I have been playing with this for a few days now. I got it in late last week, and man, talk about an amazing piece of technology. It is so much easier to set up and configure than the old stuff I was using. So that is what I love, my PixCon 16 from Lidarama. There's others out there if you're not partial to Lidarama, but they're probably the biggest one in the consumer and commercial lighting space for this kind of stuff. So that's what I love. Jeff, what about you?
I'm going to pick the newly released special edition Skyrim for Xbox One. Old game, but redone and the current graphics set coming up from the Xbox 360 to the Xbox One type graphics. It is absolutely amazing. It also introduces mods. So a lot of the modding that was done at the PC has been ported over, and you can mod the heck out of your Skyrim and do fun stuff like cheat a lot. there are good mods in there too. There are some, you know, what I would call like DLC type mods that add a whole new storylines, let you start in a different place. So a lot of cool stuff there. Been playing that came out on Friday. Really enjoy it. So if you were a Skyrim fan on the Xbox 360 and now have the Xbox One, or I believe it's also available at the PS4 level now, check it out. It's a lot of fun, and mods add a lot.
Holy cow. I just Googled it because I didn't play it on the original or the Xbox One, and there are like pictures that you can find on Google Images of, you know, the original and then this special edition, and oh my gosh, that is amazing.
Yeah.
So I played Skyrim, a lot of Skyrim, on the PC. And if you're a PC owner, this is not a necessary purchase. Now,
you may
have gotten it for free, like I did. I went to my Steam account. It was already there. I can just install it because I had the right combination of DLC content and the original game. But your saves may not work from the normal game. So I would say wait for it on the PC, unless you want to start all over. I mean, there's nothing wrong with starting all over, but you're going to start over with like none of the mods. And of course, while the modding community was very active when it was new, I'm not sure how active it'll be now. And all of those mods will need to be updated to the special edition. So probably a lot of them won't get updated.
There are over 300 mods already available on the Xbox One store.
That's good.
I mean, to me, that's a lot. That may not be a lot compared to what was available on the PC, but
no, for a console, you should buy it immediately. You should run, not walk. And you should break into Best Buy overnight. Just go ahead and take it, leave some money. the mods really help your game experience. There's an unofficial patch that fixes a lot of bugs. Yep. And that's there's a the UI, ones. A Sky UI, mm-hmm. which really, really improves the user interface.
Awesome. I will check that one out too.
Wow, very cool. Those graphics are amazing. That's cool.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. It was a great game when it came out, and it's still a great game. So You know, I admit that I do a lot of the cheats because I'm not so much about, you know, grinding through to get up to levels. I just want to enjoy the stories.
You're not a purist?
Not really. Especially since I beat it purely more than once already, to be honest with you. So,
And that originally is, what, like 4 or 5 years old, right? I mean, it's been around for a little bit.
Interesting. Yeah, I want to say 2011. I think it was 11/11/11 release.
Ah, okay. Yeah. Interesting.
And I've beat it, quote unquote, fairly several times, so I don't really feel all that bad about using cheats so that I don't have to grind out and get a bunch of iron ingots to make iron daggers to, I don't really feel bad about that.
I'd like to point out, you're an adult, you're a professional, and saying that you beat it, quote unquote, who cares? It's a video game. It's not like, you know, anything important. Like, I'd cheat your butt off the first day if it was me.
Plus, it's single player, so you're not affecting anybody else's game either.
Yeah.
I want to be a level 500 the first day and just kill the biggest dragon in the game.
That's a lot of fun. So, you have just listened to another fine episode of the No Better Than Average podcast. Just want to remind you about that call-in comment line, 317-643-1212. Ask a question, rant, we'll take a listen and address your message on the upcoming show. If you want to keep up with us and follow us on Twitter, we are at No Better Show. Our blog is at www.nobettershow.com. Feel free to shoot us an email at feedback@nobettershow.com. We read all the email and we will comment on it accordingly. Until next time, thank you so much for listening. And now we hope that you know better than average too. Thank you.
Talk at you later, everybody.
Have a great week, everyone.